Good evening to all. I would like to extend a hearty welcome to all participating in our service tonight and all joining us through sermon audio. May the Lord be glorified and honored in our midst tonight. And may we take great courage from God's word in these trying and difficult days. Let's begin our service tonight by singing hymn 346, Oh, Now I See the Cleansing Wave. Thank God that his precious blood cleanses us whiter than snow. Let us pray together as we commit this evening's service to our God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time humbly, asking, Lord, that you be glorified in our midst tonight, that you may be honored and praised. Lord, and even though we are worshiping you from afar, from each of our homes through technology, we ask, Lord, today that you would be honored, that you would bless your people, that you would meet with us tonight. For, Lord, we desire that your name be magnified. And therefore, to that end, we pray that you would give us the strength that we need by the outpouring of the mighty Spirit of God upon each soul. Lord, even tonight, even as they are hearing the word of God, sitting in their homes, wherever they may be, I ask, Lord, that you would pour upon us, that your Spirit, Lord, would enlighten us. Lord, that your word may go out. Lord, I pray that you would bless our pastor as he brings the word tonight. I pray, Lord, that the word of God may be clear and that it would go to the heart. Father, that you would be magnified and glorified tonight through your word and through the preaching of your word. We ask, Lord, that if there be any hearing the words of God tonight and that they have not met with you, we ask, Lord, that you would convict of sin and that you would allow Lord, them to be saved, to draw them to the Father through the preaching of God's word, we pray that you would grant repentance. We ask, Lord, that you would be with each and every person in this assembly. We ask, Lord, that you would undertake, that you would be with those that at this time are grieving the loss of family. We pray, Lord, for Karen and Suzanne Fernandez. We ask that you would comfort them. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Mrs. Cairns tonight as she mourns the death of her husband. We pray, God, that you would be with those that are not faring very well in health. We ask, Lord, that you would undertake and that you would touch their bodies. We pray, Lord, for our brother Ron Blair. We ask that you would touch his body. Lord, that you would comfort him tonight. We pray that you would comfort our brother McAnally, Sam McAnally, that you would give him great comfort tonight, that you would, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would be theirs tonight. We pray for our sister, Ruth Slade. We ask, Lord, that you'd undertake for her. Father, I pray that you would be with her at this very moment, that you would, Lord, bring peace and comfort to her soul, that you would, Lord, bring her relief. We ask these things and many others that I may not mention by name. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those that need a touch from heaven tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would undertake, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. I pray, Lord, that you would guide every single person that calls upon the name of the Lord, both in this assembly, in this city, in this country, and in fact, throughout this world. Lord, I pray for those that are truly yours. Lord, the remnant today, throughout this world, that you would give us much wisdom, that you would grant protection. And even as we heard this morning, Lord, for you have promised that you will help us. For Lord, for we are the sheep of your fold. And Lord, for eternity. And that is a great comfort tonight. And I pray, Lord, that that would be the reality for each and every child of God throughout this planet today. That you would comfort them. That you would come very near them. Especially, Lord, as we see confusion. As we see, Lord, rumors of this and that. As we see the nations of this world gathering together against the Father's anointed. Lord, as we see that, as we see corruption, as we see all of these things around us, we pray for wisdom, we pray for direction, we pray, Lord, that you would guide us through every decision, even in this assembly, for things that are to come. We pray, Lord, that you'd give great decision, great wisdom and discernment, even to the decisions of ministry in this assembly. Lord, whether it be church-related or school-related, I ask, Lord, that you would undertake, that you would touch and be with the principal, that you'd be with the vice principals, with every teacher, with all the parents, with all the children, that salvation may be continue to be, Lord, the focus of the ministry, the gospel, the preaching of God's word. Lord, into your hands we commit all of these needs. Father, receive from us tonight our petition. Bless us, we pray. We ask all of these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 250, I Believe Jesus Saves. Amen. Thank you. Amen. What a truth that is. Precious blood of Jesus Christ makes us whiter than snow. Let us look together to God's word now. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 9 for tonight's reading of God's word. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. Starting at the verse 1. And Jesus passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. We'll end our reading there for tonight. And my prayer is that the Lord would bless this word to your own hearts this evening. Let us browse together through the announcements for this incoming week. You can find them on our website. And those that are on our email list will receive them as well. We would like to remind everyone to continue to pray for our school ministry because of the delayed start due to this recent shutdown. Everyone had to go into remote learning again. So we pray that the teachers and the staff, and that God would keep them and strengthen them and help them through this time. Keep them in your prayers. Please remember the special congregational prayer that's going to be held January 25th to 27th. Very important. Let's keep that in prayer. Also, as has been announced, Women's Bible Study will commence. It'll be every last Thursday of every month, beginning at 7 p.m., and that will take place through Zoom. You will receive the email with the link. And if you know of anyone that is interested, please send us an email, and they will be sent the link for that meeting. Our first one will take place on January 28th, which is just after our week of prayer. Please continue to remember our sick people and those that were bereaved. Our sister Slade, Ruth Slade, our brother Sam, our brother Ron Blair, the Fernandes family, Joanne Kearns, and there is a whole list there on the bulletin for you. Please remember those that are in need, and wherever possible, reach out to them at this time, especially during this period when there is this shutdown and people are, a lot of the older folks are shut in. Please contact them and give them a call. They'll really appreciate it. And lastly, please pray for our governments, pray for our nation, that the Lord would have his hand upon us. That will be the final one for our announcements tonight. If we could please turn to hymn 240 for those who have a hymnal. What can wash away my sin? 240.
Well, I want to thank our brother Ed Santos, one of our deacons, for leading our service tonight. And I add my own words of welcome to all of you who have been tuned in this evening to Sermon Audio to get a message from God's Word, to join with us in worship in your home, wherever you are tonight. And certainly want to welcome the few that are with us in the church here. We are limited to 10 people in a service, which is across Ontario at this time. And for that matter, many places in the world seem to be restricted by the same type of protocols. And so we are in this situation. We pray for those who are on the front lines in our congregation who are serving the Lord in whether it's a nursing capacity, someone, other folks in the medical field. We certainly pray for all of those that are connected with us tonight. Let me just remind the folks on our Sunday school committee, we'll be meeting after 8:30 tonight via Zoom, and then also tomorrow, Monday at 4 p.m., just a reminder to those on our Whitfield Advisory Committee, we have a meeting then as well. Before we come to the Word of God tonight, I have an announcement to make that brings me with mixed feelings, really. And it has to do with the upcoming retirement of our brother George Robinson and also his wife Linda. Now, that is not going to be taking place until the summertime of this year. But I say mixed feelings, of course, because, well, these dear folks have served in this congregation very, very faithfully for a long time. As a matter of fact, our brother George has been involved in the finances of our church for 45 years. 45 years. That's a lifetime all on its own. And he has served both as treasurer in our church and as financial manager in our school and in our church as well. And along with the growing responsibilities of our ministry, our brother continues to work and aid other churches in our denomination, as well as serving as the chairman of our finance committee in the presbytery. Linda has served as the assistant to the business manager since she came on board over 25 years ago, serving in that capacity very faithfully. She has been serving the Lord there. Now, we will certainly have much more to say about our dear brother and our sister as we come closer to the time when their retirement takes place. But we would ask you, as a congregation, to remember to pray for them, as they have many, many details and responsibilities to take care of before that day comes, but also to pray very much for the leading of God in the transition that will take place. You know, to serve God in any capacity, it is the requirement of a call from the Lord, a burden that He places upon those who are going to be in the service of Christ, and certainly in the area of financial manager in our church and school, it is a very, very important position. So we ask you all to remember us in prayer as we move forward in this. And I can say tonight to you, George, to Linda, as you're listening online, that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which you have showed toward His name. And so please remember this very important announcement in your prayer. Let me ask you tonight, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. Now, while you're turning up there, if you've joined our service tonight for the very first time, or maybe you've come back again, let me encourage you about our daily Bible reading plan for this year. I know we're a few weeks into January, but that doesn't mean it's too late to pick up one of these. You can get it online in a PDF format, or if you want a hard copy, that we'll be sure to mail one to you. Just email us and let us know. And for our congregation, we do have an updated telephone directory along with address information, and that's only for our own congregation. And if you want to get a hard copy of that, we'll be happy to mail one to you as well. Before we read the scripture tonight, I want to just give you a little background of the account we're going to be dealing with in chapter 5 of 2 Kings. And it has to do with the character called Naaman. Naaman was the general, the captain of the army of Syria. Syria and Israel had for a long time been enemies. But when the family tree would be examined, well, it would be found out that they came from the same father. We read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26 and verse 5, it's there referring to Jacob, and it speaks of him as a Syrian, ready to perish when he went to Egypt with his sons. And that time period is, of course, when Joseph had become ruler in Egypt. And so the Bible refers to Jacob as a Syrian. We know that Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, got his wife, naming Rebekah, who was the daughter of Bethuel. Who is Bethuel? Well, the granddaughter that made Rebekah of Nahor. And Nahor was Abraham's brother. In Genesis 25 and verse 20, it says this, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian." Several accounts then tell us about the connection that they had going a way back. Now, the outgrowth of this conflict between Syria and Israel, these two nations, well, it's traced back within the family. We also know that when Jacob fled from Esau, where did he end up? Well, he ended up with Laban, the Syrian, for he ended up marrying the daughter of Laban, Rachel, and he served Laban for several years on account of getting the wife that he wanted. But you'll also remember that by the time Jacob left Laban, he had managed all his flocks, and indeed God had prospered Jacob, and therefore Laban became quite wealthy, well, to a point. But we know that Laban had changed the wages of Jacob several times. And so when Jacob was going to take his departure, he had separated a certain speckled and spotted animals within the herd, and as he was able to see them multiply, and then he took what belonged to him, and when he left, but just before that, the sons of Laban, they said, "This guy, Jacob, why, he has robbed and taken all of our heritage, our inheritance." So there you begin to see the seeds of bitterness and of envy that were stirring up within the family relations there. And such bitterness runs deep. And friends, that's a lesson for us too, you know, about family relationships. Those squabbles, they might seem to be something small on the surface when they start, but they can turn into very ugly things as they develop and grow. They can leave scars that will last for years. And sadly, the outgrowth in generations that follow after may even mean warfare. Let's read the scripture then, looking at 2 Kings chapter 5. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he went," or he brought the letter, "to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him that is Naaman come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. Will you join with me, please, for a word of prayer? We ask the Lord's help in the meeting tonight. Father, I'm asking now for the help of the Holy Spirit as we have the Scriptures opened, that every heart would be open. And that, Lord, I would know the direction and leading of the Spirit of God, the power that cannot be manufactured in the mind or heart of any man. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will give me that necessary anointing to speak the Word of God faithfully and clearly and plainly so that no one would misunderstand. Lord, come near to us this night and speak with a voice, Lord, that voice that is able to awaken the deadened heart, deadened trespasses and sin. Lord, hear this prayer tonight, because we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The anxiety, dispute, the trouble between Syria and Israel, well, it had gone back a long way, as we've already tried to paint that picture for you. And in the days of David, who was the king of Israel, the king of Syria, Hadarezer, had been defeated. And so the Syrians served David during the time of his kingship. A further defeat happened, and it continued that they were subdued. Well, this continued during the reign of Solomon, who was the son of David. But after Solomon had died and Rehoboam came to the throne, well, that's when Syria was ripe for revolt. Tensions were never far below the surface. And when Asa, king of Judah, needed help against Israel, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was only too ready to help and to assist that he might get an upper hand on Israel. During these times of political unrest, it was not unusual for armies to make their way and attack certain cities. Perhaps they were border perimeter cities, and they would take spoil. They would also take slaves, captives. And as prisoners were taken, so was the case with this one we're introduced to in our account now, this little maid. She was taken, and she's now serving in Naaman's house. She was the helper for Naaman's wife. In this case, it does not appear that she was treated really cruelly. In fact, it appears that she was treated fairly well. And so much so that she had a concern in her heart, this little maid, for the well-being of her master, of Naaman. For she knew that he was sick with leprosy. And so when word got back to the king of Israel that there was a prophet in Israel who could help Naaman, well, the king of Israel was very interested in this because obviously he had high respect for the captain of his army, Naaman. Naaman had served him well. And so he sent a letter to the king of Israel, and Naaman himself was the man to deliver that. In this account, we're confronted with God showing great mercy to a man both to heal his body and to heal his soul. It came from a most unlikely place, though. You see, Naaman's healing, it involves more than just that which is on the surface. It involved the healing and the transforming of a man's heart. It was God's purpose at this time and through Naaman to open up the door of salvation by type and shadow, a foreshadowing of the Gentiles that would have the nation, their hearts open to the word of the Lord. By circumstances that would appear, well, on the surface, rather coincidental. A little maid taken from a place, servant now, in the house of a captain of an enemy of Israel. And yet, my friends, we learn tonight that God's grace and mercy extends far beyond the borders that you and I might put up around us. Sometimes the borders of prejudice. Sometimes the borders of what we might think would be enemies. God has a plan and a purpose. And it extends beyond our sometimes very puny way of thinking. The Lord was about something much greater here. And He would change the life. He would change the course of history. He would do that through the life of one man, Naaman. And the words of our text tonight, found in verse 10, that came to him, "Wash, Naaman, wash, and thou shalt be clean." As we look at this account tonight, it really points toward the great washing that we have in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, that you and I tonight might be saved from our sin, that we might be cleansed and made whole. I pray that tonight God's Spirit would work in your heart, friend, if you are not a Christian. And believer, it will cause you and I as well to be very, very thankful for the day God broke through the hardness of our own stubborn heart. Furious, perhaps, we were with the gospel and how those people who came and annoyed us with it. And yet the Lord pursued us through the darkness of our own mind and heart, because God's grace reaches those who are unreachable. God's grace touches those who are untouchable. And that's what the Lord did for us. And that's exactly what He did for Naaman. Would you notice in the first place, Naaman's resume? What do we know about this man? What are we told about him? He is only found in this one account, this one chapter in the Old Testament of the Scripture. And we're told in verse 1 about this man's strength. He is a mighty man of valor, one who had obviously proved himself on the battlefield as he fought the armies that were around him for Syria, a fearless soldier, capable. He was a man who had a great position as a strong man and as a leader, for he was captain of the host of Syria. A man of great influence. Influence as he was seen by his master, the king of Syria, as someone who was capable, who was able, who was worthwhile, worthy of the position that he had. Yes, a man of strength, position, influence, undoubtedly a wealthy man, for he would have been rewarded for the successes on the battlefield. But you know, in all these things too, he was a man who had a reputation, because we're told in the opening verse that he was an honorable man. This is something that is somewhat unusual for us to see in an unsaved person. But there was some qualities that we find even in ungodly people whose hearts are not open to God, but the common grace of the Lord had touched the heart and the life of this individual. And the common graces of God that are available and we see working and operating in unsaved people around us, it's part of the kindness of the Lord. Part of the way God's Spirit is moving in the hearts and lives of people to see the outworking of these things even in countries and nations. He was an honorable man through whom, did you note this, he had delivered Syria. But how did that take place? We're told in verse 1, because by him, that is Naaman, the Lord had given deliverances unto Syria. So it wasn't the fact that Naaman was just a superhero. It wasn't just the fact that he was an able man or honorable or wealthy or anything else. It was God who had worked through him in order to give deliverances to Syria. You know, sometimes you and I might wonder, why is it and how is it that nations of this world that seem to be very, very against God, could we say? Nations that are not showing particularly any affinity or openness to the Bible, and yet strangely enough, they are powerful and successful, and they seem to have great bounty. Why? Have you stopped to consider that maybe in the sovereign purpose and will of the God of heaven and earth. He has allowed them. He has forwarded them. He has opened doors and opportunities for them, because in their victories, God Himself ultimately will be victorious. He granted deliverances unto Syria. Why Syria, you might ask here? But if we ask why Syria, we would have to ask then, well, why any other nation or country or people? How come some tyrants or regimes seem to be so successful? And my friend, the answer is the same across the entire board. The answer is the same, and it's this: that God makes use of kingdoms and empires and rulers. He makes use of them in order to do this, to forward the purpose of His own church and people. And you might think that's a rather large statement. You might wonder, do you mean to tell me that I'm saying that tonight that God will actually raise up an empire like Babylon? Another empire like Alexander the Great of the Grecian Empire? How about the Roman Empire during the time of Christ? Would the Lord raise up that empire to do one thing only? To see His kingdom, to see the church extended? Yes, my friend, that is absolutely what is being taught in the Word of God. Because God is forming and opening and closing and working all things in this world for the single and sole purpose of the benefit of you as a Christian, as you being part of the body of Jesus Christ, for the extension of that kingdom of Christ. These things might, well, they're certainly spurned by the ungodly. They'd say, that's not history. That's just your imagination. That's just what you think the Bible says. But for those who are people of God, who walk by faith and who believe the Scripture, all you need to do is to look at the Word of God and see how the Lord sets up one ruler and He brings down another. And as you study the developments, the advancements of church history and of all history for that purpose, you will see unmistakably that this is the greater purpose of a sovereign God, and that things that have come to pass have not happened just by coincidence. It's not happening by chance, but we worship a God who is sovereign over all things. He was working in Syria. He was working in that nation through another man, one man by the name of Naaman. And the resume of this man was a very important one in the world, but that meant nothing to God, for it is the Lord who had lifted that up. And my friend, in the intermingled mass of details and of maneuvers by men that seem to be unrelated, God is at work. And the Lord is working through people and nations and kingdoms. And it was well possible through Naaman that the salvation of this man would have a greater impact on many, many, many more people. Naaman's name, it means pleasantness. But this man, I can assure you, felt anything but pleasant, for we are told that at the end of all the attainments, of all the honor, that he was a leper. It was a very loathsome disease, leprosy. And it had no respect of persons, because it didn't matter if a person was in a slave market or on a throne, leprosy could affect them. But I tell you something, my friend, God's greater purpose in the life of Naaman was that he would contract this disease. Now, his name means pleasantness, but as he went through his life, isolated from people, as he had to make it known that he was unclean in his person, the disease carried with it a great stigma. And it meant that he was excluded from the regular company of other people. He had to eat alone. He had to walk alone. He had to travel alone because that disease was upon him. And friend, I think we see just a picture of this today as so many people are dealing with COVID. Because undoubtedly, the contagious nature of this disease is that if you are diagnosed positive, then all things change in your life at that point. And you need to isolate yourself. And believe me, you won't have a whole lot of friends at that point in time. People aren't going to be coming up and shaking your hands or giving you a big hug because they know that there's now a problem. You have a virus. You have something that is very potentially dangerous and harmful to other people who contract it if they were to get it from you. So we get a picture of what that would be like for Naaman, for he had this disease that everyone who was around him would have realized that this is a problem. And even those who would have traveled with him as he went down to Israel, they all knew, you come so close, but you don't come too close. Naaman was as great, my friend, as the world could make him great. But as one commentator said, even the basest person of Syria, they would not change places with him. What would he have given, I wonder, to be freed from his disease, because it was a death sentence for him? Would he have given up his position as captain of the host of Syria? How about his high court, as he had access to the king? What about his fame as a great leader and a conqueror? All his wealth, maybe? Would he have given up all these things? Even Satan said to God when he was speaking about Job, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Leprosy, my dear friend, is a picture of sin. For it's a disease that marks a man. That's exactly what leprosy would do on the skin. You could see it very quickly and evidently. It defiles the individual. Separates and puts a barrier that can't be humanly overcome. You know, it does not matter about how strong we are. Friend, you may be strong and making your way up the social ladder. You have influence, you have wealth, you have reputation. But none of those things matter if at the end of it all you are separated from God because of the sin that is in your heart. Because all that the world can offer you, all that they can give you, is nothing because you are separated from the holy and living God because of our sin. And no matter quality of life can change the fact that your eternal soul is lost. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Naaman's resume was a great one on the surface, but it was a very troubling situation that he had. As we continue thinking about this account of this man's life, secondly, there was a very unimportant slave girl that was involved here. We're told in verses 2 and 3 that she was a little maid. Taken captive, one of the raids that Syria had made into Israel. The word little here simply means small, insignificant, young. And she may have been both little of stature and of age. But like Daniel, she had been taken captive to a foreign land. But a bit unlike him, she didn't have any friends to be with her. She was alone. Here we are confronted, my dear friends, with a providential leading of God in the lives of His people. And the Lord often takes us where we would not choose to go ourselves. He puts us in places and in situations which we would normally have fled from. And yet it's part of a greater plan. It's part of a sovereign purpose. For God places us where He knows best, that will ultimately be for His glory, for His honor. And I ask us all a question tonight, friend. Can we accept that? Can you accept that tonight, believer, in your life? That maybe the Lord is doing something in you and through you that you wouldn't choose yourself. Some trial, some circumstance has met you that has hit you head on. And you say, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to be in this place. But Lord, you've brought me here, and it's painful. And I'm sensing the separation. And I'm sensing the hurt of it all. And yet, just as Daniel and his three friends were able to overcome that in their day and their time, and so this little maid who was there as a slave girl was able to overcome her circumstances and did not have bitterness in her heart. At least, it certainly didn't show there. And she actually had a love in her heart for the master in whose house she was serving. Matthew Henry, the commentator, said, "The unhappy dispersing of God's people has sometimes proved the happy occasion of the diffusion of the knowledge of God." Yes, when the Lord puts us in some places where we wouldn't choose and we don't want, yet He prospers us there. He uses our testimonies in that location to be the promotion of His word. Are you happy about that, friend, tonight? Can we be satisfied with that? You have circumstances in your life that you didn't choose. And right now you find yourself in the middle of it. Can by faith you say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I am willing to accept it so that I might be used by the greater purposes of my loving Heavenly Father, who says to us, friends, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes. Ultimately, the purpose of God is that we will receive a far greater reward. We will be receiving the joint inheritance given to Christ is also our possession. Does that make things a little bit easier? Oh, yes, it does, friend. When we see the perspective from God's point of view, when we see the light on our pathway, the way God has shown us that we have to go, we're able to step back and by faith say, yes, Lord, I take the lot of my life and I want to serve joyfully. not just somehow, not just getting through it, but triumphantly we will serve in those circumstances, because it's only then, believer, that we will exalt and magnify and glorify the God who has called us to serve Him. It's then. Not somehow, but triumphantly. Oh, that we would have such faith and give up on our complaining. We complain about so much, and we complain so easily about all kinds of stuff in life. And sometimes you say, it's just not fair. How come, God, you've brought this to me, and how come this is not fair? Wait, friend, wait. Before you say this, stop and say, Lord, you love me with an everlasting love, and you brought this to me in my life. Can I accept this? And say, Lord, whatever you're doing through me, let your grace be sufficient for me in the time of my need. I have to admit, friend, I've been slow to learn that lesson. In my life, I've been slow to learn, and we can gripe and complain, and I'm guilty of that as much as anybody. Until the Lord gently and carefully leads me to the place where I willingly accept what He is doing and what He has done. And I have to admit that sometimes it's not for years that we look back and see, oh, now I get it, Lord. Now I see. How dull of hearing was I? How lacking in faith was I? How disobedient was I? Full of complaints. That's not what the Lord wants of us. That's not what He's doing in us. Remember, friend, that our God can never do us any ill. He will never do us any harm. He only is working out according to our good and His glory. And it will all be seen one day. And on the underside of the great tapestry that God is using, we see all the threads that are hanging down, and it doesn't look very pretty, and we can't even see and hardly make out the picture that God is doing. But when we see the top side, we will see all the beauty, all the form, all the lines, everything tied together in great symmetry. Yes, we will see it then. Little maid, who could have been very bitter and angry about her situation in life, she could have wished that, hope Naaman drops dead. Hope leprosy consumes the guy. That's not what she said, though. That's not what she felt in her heart. She showed the spirit truly of Christ, of love, and of a desire that showed something much deeper inside this young girl's heart, because she knew the Lord and she trusted in Him. And she knew where to direct others for healing. I know that there is in Israel a prophet, a man of God. And if Naaman was there, he would be healed. I stagger at the faith of this little girl, this young maid. I'm so shocked by it, really, because she obviously knew of Elisha, and she knew of the miracles that Elisha was able to do by God. And so strong and unmixed was her faith. She says, yes, if Naaman goes and talks to Elisha, he'll heal him. She believed in God's power to do the impossible. So often we limit God by our own weakness and unbelief, and we tend to be infectious to other people in limiting their faith as well, instead, friend, of just believing what God says He will do and in His Word and trusting in Him. Sometimes people think they can do so little to have an impact on others. You might think yourself, I don't have too many gifts or talents. Maybe you think you don't have any. Well, that's not true. But you might think yourself not very useful. You might think, what can I do to serve God's kingdom? If that little maid was to ask that question, the answer came back very clear. She was a signpost pointing to the God of Elisha, who was able to do the impossible. And as she was a signpost, so the Lord calls us to do the same thing. We can't save a soul. We can't heal anybody by it. We have no power to do that. But what we can do is direct people to the Lord. And we point them to Christ. And that's, my young friends, that's people in this congregation. Those of you listening tonight, that's what the Lord is able to do. And the account before us is clear proof that God uses the simplest of people and the simplest of words. She didn't have a great theological education. She didn't have to make great profound statements. Her words were simple. Spoken in weakness in a very obscure place, yet with great results. Do not despise, my friend, your place, and don't despise your own ability or the lack of it. But the thing to do is this: surrender all to Christ and just say, Lord, whatever I am and whatever you've given me, help me to make use of it for your glory and give it back. For all that we have, friend, has been given to us. Let's not forget that. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. And we're under the possession, the ownership of our Heavenly Father in the great flock that He has. And therefore, we are called to serve Him. And I pray that we'll have a heart devoted and given over to the Lord. Naaman's resume and an unimportant slave girl. And in the third place tonight, there was a despised and rejected solution. A despised and rejected solution. Verse 10, well, to wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean. Now, when Jehoram, who was the king of Israel at that time, had received a letter from the king of Assyria seeking healing for Naaman, he thought that Ben-Hadad was out for an excuse to attack Israel. Because if Israel, the king of Israel, couldn't provide for him, couldn't heal Naaman, then obviously there was grounds for an attack. And when the king of Israel had rent his clothes, as great grief, Elisha heard about it. And in kindness, he said to him, don't fret. Don't worry about this. I'll take care of the problem. Isn't it great when someone does that for us? When we're at the end of ourselves, we don't know where to turn, somebody comes like, don't worry, let me help. Send the problem to me. I'll take care of it. And all of a sudden, we're greatly relieved. Thank you. That's good. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, send Naaman down here. We'll sort him out. And so the whole entourage of Naaman and those who were riding with him and all the money that he had brought with him as a gift, well, he comes down to the house of Elisha. And here he arrives. And Elisha does not come out to meet him. That's what Naaman was expecting, you know. This was another step in the humility that had to take place in this man's life, by the way. And so the messenger comes out and says, this is what you have to do. You dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be clean. Simple as that. Of course, Naaman's response demonstrated something of the pride in the heart of the man. A great man in many ways, but the corruption of his skin, it only showed the corruption of his heart and the pride that he had. Yes, he was a sinful man, filled with his own importance, filled with a sense of who he was and what he had attained in life and who he was representing. Don't you know that I'm the messenger of the king of Syria? Don't you know I have power with God? Friend, that doesn't mean anything. In fact, it's not until You come to the place where you realize that I am absolutely nothing. I have no authority, no power. I'm simply a sinner. And I deserve to be condemned to hell forever. So he came with his horses and his chariots to Elisha's door in all the regalia of a head of state. He was met by the servant. He expected an exhibition by the prophet of laying on of the hands and all that kind of stuff that TV evangelists like to do. He despised the means of healing. He was insulted. You want me to go down and wash in this dirty old Jordan River? I could have done that at home. I wasted my time coming down here. National pride rose up inside him. I'm not going to lower myself to wash in the Jordan in Israel. I mean, seriously, I could do this just back at my own land. He didn't want to humble himself. You know, my friend, the refusal for you to humble yourself tonight has been and continues to be the great reason why you are not saved. The simple remedy for your sin is to call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the word of God. But you say, no, I'm not doing that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But you say, no, I'm not going to humble myself. You know, when it comes to the pride of heart, of your position, of self-righteousness, well, that's, friend, a great obstacle. It's not until you humble yourself before God and seek Him and confess your sin that you will find any healing. Perhaps you despise this simple remedy. Perhaps you think, as many do, I have to do something more myself. I have to clean up my life. I'm going to have to do something of religious exercises or something else whereby I can work my way to heaven. Sort of everybody thinks that way. If I'm going to be saved, I have to work my way there. But that's not the message of the gospel. It's not the Lord's way. No, the Lord's way is the simple message. Confession and belief in Christ. And that's the word, friend, tonight. And in order to be saved, you must humble yourself and call upon Him. And then you will hear that all that is needed to be cured of your sinful state is to ask the Lord. And once more, you think, don't insult my intelligence. But friend, if you despise the simple command, you will remain in your sin. There is no salvation for you. There's no remedy. Because as long as you think to yourself, I will do this my way, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you will be condemned to a lost eternity. This is the word of God. This is the message of God's truth. And so the word came to Naaman as it comes to you tonight, wash and be clean. Wash me, O Lamb of God. Wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Purge me from every stain. Let me thine image gain. In love and mercy reign over all within. Oh, there's an amazing change that took place in this man's life. For Naaman had turned from the message of God and he went away angry. And his servants came to him and told him, Master, if you had been told to do some great thing, imagine, go to the top of Mount Moriah, offer there 10 sacrifices, cut yourself and let blood drain from your body, and then you'll be healed of your leprosy. He would have done it. But the simple message, that God's grace was working in Naaman's life. And he came back and he submitted himself and he said, I will go and do it. And as he put himself under the water one time and two time and three times, and his flesh was still leprous, and four times and five times and six times and still leprous, and it does not appear that Naaman was operating too much by faith here, but God was working. And when Naaman dipped himself down the seventh time and came out of that water, something had happened. And his flesh became clean and pure as the flesh of a little baby. And Naaman, at the moment he saw this, he realized that it's true. And the message that I was given is the right message. And there was nothing magical about the water, nothing magical about the seven times. It was the command of God. It was the following of the simple directive that the Lord had given. Wash and be clean. And friend, it's exactly the same for you tonight. To wash in the precious blood of Christ. For He died on Calvary's cross to save you from your sin. And if you submit yourself and humbly call upon Him and say, Lord, wash away my sin. I come to you tonight. God will answer your prayer. He will heal you. He will save you, my friend, from your sin. And that's all that matters. This I know, Naaman could say, that once I was leprous, but now I am clean. Yes, he was a new man. And as we read also tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 9, about that blind man, and the Lord made spittle and he anointed his eyes. And what did Christ say to him? He said, go and wash in the pool. And when you wash, you will come seeing. And the man followed that simple directive of Christ. Now we know that Jesus could have healed him without that. He could have healed him by a word. But this time the Lord chose to use that means so that the man would exercise faith in obedience, and he went and washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam, and he was made to see. Ah, friend, tonight, your condition is both blind in sin and corrupted in sin by the disease. And you need a great deliverance, a great healing. And you may think you can do it on your own, but you cannot. And that will only be fatal for your soul. And so the answer is a clear and a simple one. Wash yourself in the precious blood of Calvary. And in so washing, you too will be saved from your sin. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Friend, tonight, as our meeting is just about closed, has God been speaking to your heart? Has the Word of God affected you? I pray it has. I pray it still will. call upon the Savior now. Repent of your sin. If you need help, send me an email. It'll come up on the screen after we close in prayer. And I'll be glad to do what I can to point you to the Lord from His Word. Don't put it off any longer. You don't know what a day will bring. You do not know, friend, how much time you have. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Father, I pray that your holy word would rest in the heart of everyone who has heard. That, Lord, it might please thee to save precious souls. Do what we cannot do. It's impossible for us. But, Lord, gloriously possible by your sovereign grace. Lord, help us, we all pray, and every believer, as we go about our daily work and witness. And, Lord, you know our prayer has been that we want to be soul winners. We want to be made use of in the kingdom of Christ. And we pray that will be in our congregation, that every believer would know the joy of being a messenger of truth, just like this little maid. Make use of us, Lord, we pray. Bless us now. Encourage our hearts. Keep us going strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. Hear our prayers now, Father. For the glory of Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.